Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, ghoulish people, gulaks around the world.
Is that a Drew?
Is that a racist term? Or is that, that's a name. That's a name. Gulak. If you're, that's
Drew,
not racist.
Drew Gulak.
Yeah, Gulak. That's what I was trying to say. Gulak. Welcome to Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man here on this warm and sensual Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. And we got a great show for you tonight. We are going to have a topic and we're going to talk about it, which is unusual for us. So the topic tonight, and I can't believe I'm doing the show. I really can't. Even though it was my idea, I can't believe I'm doing a show entirely about the Joker. Probably my least favorite DC villain. That's not true. There are DC villains I've probably only heard about one time that are much worse than the Joker.
Kevin just got really angry and he's not sure why. He is now that he's listening to this, but right now.
He understands why on Tuesday night he just got a little twinge.
He gets a little angry. The blood, I boil the blood, anger up the blood. Hey, what's up? It's Shannon Young here with you tonight. I'm hosting and it's good to be back here on Mr. 100, the Five Star Man. We've been off for like, it feels like a month almost.
I think it has been.
It's, yeah, because the rotation got messed up because of the ice storms we had a little while ago. Nerds for Hire was delayed a week. But
it just got pushed back a week. Like the rotation is still
right.
Set. It's
so
just,
next
there was
week
a
is still going to be the paranormal show, I want to believe. So everything stays the same. It's just got pushed back a week. Here with me tonight, of course, Asa Gray, the Five Star Man down at the end of the table.
Yes.
Not here tonight because she had to work, is not Ali Abair, who right now I'd be going, hello, but she's not. So instead we got, when Ali's not available, you call in a ringer. And if you need a ringer, you get the best ringer. You get the A+ player, Jesse Kimble.
Well, that was a wonderful intro.
Thank you. Well, if we're going to talk about comic book stuff, like who better to ask than Jesse Kimble to be on the show? And it's not often that us three get together on a show. We wish Dalton was here, but he unfortunately had work to do as well, so he couldn't make it. Because those are some of my favorite shows when all four of us get together.
Plus, in fairness, a fourth person really can't get a word in edgewise when the three of us are on the same podcast.
That's very true. Well, that's why Dalton and Allie are good for it, because they just kind of sit and listen.
They get you with those one-liners.
They quip. The quip. Lindsay Wolfgang style. Yeah,
there you go.
So, Asa, before we started the show, you said, before we get to talking about the Joker, I want to know, you said you found out something about the Joker, and you were saving it for the show because you want to see my reaction. Can you tell me now or should we wait?
I mean, I can tell you now. I'm going to feel really bad if it's like something that you had like planned. Like, I don't know if you have notes or anything for it.
I don't. This is off the top of my head, all the show.
Did you know that there is a version of the Joker that was an animated version of the Joker voiced by the actor who played the Crypt Keeper?
John Cassier?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Which version?
Was it
Brave and the Bold?
No, I don't think it's that one. I'm looking it up now because I don't remember and I actually didn't put it in my notes because I do have notes for tonight, which really it's just a list of Jokers that I like or feel like mentioning.
Because there's a lot of Jokers.
There really are.
Especially like even televised and movie wise, because movies, of course, there's only, I would say four. Cesar Romero, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, and, Jared Leto. Am I forgetting one?
No.
Live action movies.
Live action. Yeah. And then animated, of course, there's Mark Hamill, John Cassier, apparently. I didn't know about that one. John DiMaggio.
There's a bunch.
Yethere's
Troy
quite
Baker,
a few.
I think was.
Yeah. Troy Baker's also done.
Oh, yeah.
Joker.
If you count the video games too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Joker has always been, I always thought he was, I never liked the Joker. I always thought he was a bad villain because he didn't really seem to have any, I don't know, substance, any purpose. He was just random. He was random acts of violence. But in today's climate, is there a more accurate villain than the Joker who just, you know, kills randomly for the fun of it sometimes, it seems like? So there's different versions of the Joker, obviously, Jesse. You probably know this better than I. And each version of the Joker kind of has their own, you know, personality quirks. My personal favorite Joker, let's just start off with this, and this is going to come as no surprise to a lot of people that know me, is Jack Nicholson. I think his portrayal, and I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes, but I think his portrayal of the Joker is my favorite. He looked like he was having fun.
Silver screen, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're going to say Mark Hamill, aren't you?
Yeah.
Here's the only reason I don't like the Mark Hamill Joker is because they neutered him. You know, he had to hold back, like his character held back so much.
Did you play the video games? Like,
oh, I forgot he was in the Arkham games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was it just the first one?
No, he was in Arkham Asylum and City.
Yeah. So he wasn't in Origins.
I think he came back for Arkham Knight. I don't remember if that's him or not, though.
It sounds a lot like, I'm going to look that up real quick.
I don't know. I'm honestly not sure.
But yeah, I forgot about Mark Hamill.
Wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they got Kevin Conroy for it, so.
After each of them have said multiple times, this is the last time I play this character.
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep coming back and keep coming back.
Oh, did you hear that Asa and I are going to get to hear Kevin Conroy do Batman in person?
Mm-mm. I did not. More news I was unaware of. I'm guessing at the convention you guys are going to.
Yeah, ICC.
That's yep. pretty awesome.
I'm paying the stupid amount of money for him to sign something, which I saw a thing on Reddit where, because I guess he was just at the Kansas City one that we actually know a lot of people that went to that, yeah. surprisingly. Not surprisingly, it's not that far away.
No.
But so he was like, so I was in line practicing in my head, okay, I actually have to talk to Kevin Conroy. Like my word, he will hear my words and I have to make this impression. So I need to get it right. You are my Batman. And then he heard the eight people in front of him say it. And he's like, he knows.
Right.
Just like that was the title, was practicing it in my head. The eight people in front of me said it. He knows.
Yeah.
So no, I'm going to have to, now I have to figure out what I'm going to say.
Yeah. No, like I hadn't really thought about that at all. And now I have that extra pressure. Thanks, Asa.
You're welcome.
To figure out something to say that's not "you were my Batman."
Also
I wasn't going to
say
Mark
Hamill in Arkham Knight.
Yeah. Okay.
And don't get it twisted. Whatever you say is not going to be worse than A, what I'm going to say. Just get behind me. Like, be behind me in line. You'll be fine, because I think we all remember who were there. My interaction with Mark Waid.
And Kevin Conroy. Like, Mark Waid is cool and everything, but...
Yeah, that was Mark Waid. And I reacted like that.
How did you react, Asa, for the people that may not know?
So essentially we, last year at ICC, we knew Mark Waid was going to be there. So I brought, my number one issue of Indestructible Hulk. Jesse had brought, found a number one of Daredevil, and Mark Waid's Daredevil run is actually kind of what laid the foundation for Daredevil being a relevant character again, because this was before the Netflix show. And a lot of the things that the Netflix show used were kind of taken from his run specifically. So, and I love the Daredevil Netflix show. It's one of my favorite on-screen personifications of Batman. It's wonderful.
I like that you tied that in there. I appreciate that.
I try. And so I go up to the table and I don't really remember because it's just a haze. I don't know if it's just because I couldn't handle that or my brain is trying to save me from the embarrassment. I'm just like, you saved Daredevil. This is the best Daredevil. Thank you. Here's my copy of Indestructible Hulk. Please sign it.
Can confirm that is what happened.
See, I could see Kevin Conroy.
And was Jesse after you in that case? Did he turn to Jesse and say, it's nice that you bring him out and let him talk to people? He's cute as a button.
Might as well have.
I think I went first on this one because I had my issue of Daredevil and I was just like, thank you so much for saving Daredevil and please sign this issue. Because yeah, Mark Waid's Daredevil run really did, like, sales for Daredevil were bad. Like up until Mark Waid, like they started net with Marvel Now and they got Mark Waid and Chris Samnee and just like completely revitalized Daredevil.
I know we're off topic here of Joker, but I was never a big Daredevil fan. I mean, I always liked the character because he looked cool for one and he had a cool story, but I really didn't read the comics. Growing up, I was almost predominantly an X-Men and Spider-Man reader. I didn't read anything else, really. I read some Batman, but X-Men was my jam. It still is. And I loved Spider-Man at the time. So I was unfamiliar with Daredevil, except that I thought he looked cool. He was the devil. But that Netflix show.
So good.
They got a lot of people into Daredevil. And fortunately, they've had some great writing talent, like, since that Netflix show came out.
Well, it's like Iron Man. You know, a lot of people, there were people that liked Iron Man, obviously, but once,
he's always had a strong cult following.
But when Robert Downey Jr. put on that suit, like, suddenly Iron Man's super popular. Thor, the same way. I mean, Thor, again, people, they have their fans, but those Marvel movies really pushed him into the upper,
upper echelon.
Yeah. I was going to say that, but I was going to say echelon. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But you know who never had that problem?
Batman.
The Joker. Oh. Both.
Who?
Who would you rather meet? Mark Hamill or Kevin Conroy?
Woo. Kevin Conroy.
Really?
Yeah, like, don't, cause, and I know, like, somewhere Heath Hatton is like, he got an itch.
Everyone's itching tonight.
Except he won't know why. I think he listens to Peter. I don't know. Just because Mark Hamill's amazing. His Joker is arguably the best version of the Joker. I'm saying arguably because
everyone has their own opinion,
but his is like empirically measured as amazing. And it's kind of the measuring stick for a lot of people.
He's the bar.
Yeah, nobody thinks that, like, there are people that might think they're better Jokers than Mark Hamill, but nobody thinks that Mark Hamill is a bad Joker.
Right.
Yeah.
And honestly, and like what you're saying, like, I genuinely don't think there is anyone who thinks that Jack Nicholson is a bad version of the Joker.
I know a couple people that don't like that version of the Joker because he's the whole mob thing. Like, he's...
He was already a criminal.
Right. And they don't like his origin story. They don't like that he has an origin story. But, you know, growing up,
they're going to be real upset for a lot of other versions of Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, that was my Joker. Like, everyone says that was my Batman, that was my Joker. Jack, even before the Batman animated series, that was my Joker, was Jack Nicholson. And I thought he did the best job with it.
And that, I mean, that's pretty much going to be any character in any franchise.
Everybody
has
the
same thing
with
Ninja Turtles. Everybody has a different version of Ninja Turtles. Everybody has a different version of Batman because it's all based on the media that you were exposed to as you were growing up.
And what's scary is that there are legitimately people now who the Jared Leto Joker is their Joker.
Yeah.
Look at Halloween. How many people dressed up as that version of the Joker?
It's like Dalton, because his version of Batman is George Clooney.
Yes. Empirically the worst Batman.
Yeah.
By far.
So
I guess to start off, how would you rank your Jokers?
Well, just real quick too, because I would love to meet Mark Hamill.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to ask that question.
Star Wars is such a huge.
It was like 30 minutes ago at this point.
Star Wars is such a huge franchise and such a big part of like everybody's childhood, including mine. Like, I love Star Wars, I really do. Despite what I sound like anytime we talk about Star Wars, I do love Star Wars.
You have to love something to be able to criticize it. If you can't criticize it, do you really love it?
Right.
You know.
So, but that said. There's so much more about Batman that I love than the Joker, and Kevin Conroy encapsulates all of that. Every comic book that I read that Batman makes an appearance,
you hear that voice.
It's his voice.
Yeah.
And I read way more comic books that I hear it in his voice, because don't get me wrong, when I see Joker, I hear it in Mark Hamill's voice.
Right.
But those are pretty few and far between for me. So yeah, just Kevin Conroy has that big impact, because I don't know if I would have gotten into Star Wars had it not been for Batman, because I've always been kind of like nerdy stuff, but at the same time, like Batman is the first thing that really, really grabbed me. And
okay, you said you didn't know if you would be into Star Wars,
like as into Star Wars, just because like
the nerd culture,
my interests in nerd culture.
Okay,
like it's Batman is what is that seed. It's always been stuff that I've been into, but it was that animated series that really took hold.
I know this is again, this is sort of on topic because it's Joker. Forget about Joker for a second. I don't know if we've ever asked this. So I'm curious, how would you rate your Batman in terms of worst to best?
Like live action?
Like best to worst. Yeah, no, because there's, especially with the DC animated movies that they came out with, because there's so many different people that have played Batman now.
Right.
Peter Weller played Batman, I believe, in one of the movies, and he was RoboCop, so I like him. He wasn't a great Batman. So let's forget all of the basic DC animated. Let's just go with Kevin Conroy counts. The rest are the live action Batman. How do you rate your Batman? We'll start with Asa, then Jesse, then me. No, me, then Jesse.
Christian Bale.
Your best?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly because the movies that he's in are the best of anything we've seen live action by Batman, in my opinion. So Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, is, despite the movies that he's in, is a tremendous Bruce Wayne and a tremendous Batman.
Yeah, I agree.
And my only knock against Christian Bale is The Dark Knight Rises wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. And the super gravelly voice that he puts on.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney.
And Kevin Conroy is
well, Kevin Conroy's
the
number
one. He's the top. Okay. You didn't say it didn't need to be said.
Yeah, right.
Gotcha.
That was strictly live action, but Kevin Conroy is my
Batman,
yeah.
All right, I'll go and then I will let you go, Jesse. Because I kind of almost the same way as Asa, except I would probably put Ben Affleck at the top. I would also put Kevin Conroy at the top, even though
it's like the donkey level. Or it's the donkey where it's like, okay, these are great. These are good. These are great. These are god tier. And then this is just the
and then
all
Mario
above.
Brothers too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Conroy, even if I like some other portrayals of Batman better, I agree with you. Like, there's no other Batman than Kevin Conroy. He is everyone's Batman. Oh, you forgot Adam West, by the way.
I'd put him in the middle. Like, I'd probably put him under Val Kilmer. Just because that Batman 66 is not my favorite
style.
Not
your cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I would put, aside from Kevin Conroy, you know, let's exclude Kevin Conroy. He's out. Cause he's a cheat code. I would put Ben Affleck first. I would also put Christian Bale second. If it was just Batman Begins, he'd be my number one. But I really hated the gravelly voice over the top stuff that he did in 2 and 3.
Yeah.
It really drove me crazy to the point that I could not watch the character. It was difficult to watch sometimes, but it was so over the top. So Christian Bale would go second for that reason. And I mean, Ben Affleck with the voice modulator wasn't a hell of a lot better because it was kind of weird, but it made sense that he would alter his voice, you know, and that he has the technology. Anyway, then probably Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, and George Clooney. And Adam West, I'd put above Val Kilmer. just because I don't think he was as good. Not my Batman either, mm-hmm. but iconic.
Right.
And you can't take that away from him. But George Clooney is by far the most god awful Batman that they've ever had.
Phenomenal Bruce Wayne though.
Cause he is Bruce Wayne.
And that's the thing too, is it's like, cause if you're ranking your live action Batmans and then your live action Bruce Waynes, that list totally changes.
Yeah.
But. Especially it's a Joker show. It's a Joker show, okay, Shannon. Yeah. Jesse, yeah. What's a Batman?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, Ben Affleck's definitely my favorite live action Batman. Just, he's great Bruce Wayne. He's a great Batman, even though I didn't like the movies at all.
Mm-hmm. Movies? You didn't like Justice League either?
No.
It makes me sad. I liked Justice League. I liked Batman versus Superman. I did.
Justice League was watchable.
I stand by my liking. I won't say loving. I stand by my liking of Batman v Superman. I thought it was okay for film.
That's entirely fine. But
we can all agree of which DC movie is the worst, right? Like, well, that's
Suicide Squad.
Okay, right, that's not even a concept.
It's objectively
okay,
the worst
sure.
film.
Make it sure.
Yeah, no. Then after that, like, I would almost put Keaton above Bale. Like, I did not like Christian. Like, I loved those movies, and you were correct that those are the best live action things we've gotten from Batman. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really like Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne or as Batman.
That's fair.
See, I thought he was the best Bruce Wayne up at the time because he looked like a playboy. Like, my problem with Keaton was that he looked like a neurotic little nerd, which is kind of what they were going for with that Batman, that he was a different, because Tim Burton was not a Batman fan. He didn't read the comics.
Yeah, he had no idea of the source material. He was going to give him a gun.
Well, I mean, technically.
which is actually why I like Keaton. Like, it's just cool. Like, yeah. it was a different take on it, but. Christian Bale, they kind of did with him, with Bruce Wayne, what they did with, Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker. Like, he was the perfect Peter, or he was a perfect Spider-Man in that one fight against Macho Man.
Yeah.
And Bonesaw, yeah. But anyway, he was the perfect Spider-Man. Like, he was quippy and sarcastic and all this other stuff. And that was the last we saw of it. And they did kind of the same thing with Bruce Wayne. Like, he had maybe 5 minutes of actually being Bruce Wayne throughout the movies.
Yeah, there was where he bought the hotel and changed the pool rules for the fountain.
And he went swimming in it with the models.
Outside of that, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of Bruce. The third movie, they made it a point of, like, he's a crazy hermit now.
Yep.
I hated that. That's
why, like, Christian Bale loses out on it, despite having easily the best live-action Batman films. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the order's the same as yours.
Val Kilmer was a really good Bruce Wayne. Because again, he looked like a rich, like, guy. The problem was that he was completely void of personality.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's freaking Val Kilmer, who's an amazing actor.
I know. Like, that one doesn't make sense to me.
He,
like,
just played him so flat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Super flat. George Clooney was not flat, but
he was a great Bruce Wayne. Like,
he just never broke Bruce Wayne.
Right. But yeah, there was no differentiation. Between Bruce Wayne and Batman.
When, I think the Clooney Batman broke me almost immediately when he just showed up to the fight and said, "Hey, freeze, I'm Batman." So nonchalantly, like he didn't give a shit that he was Batman.
Yeah.
It was bad. But at least, you know, getting back to the Joker here, I think every version of the Joker that they've had in these movies, and the reason we're talking about this, by the way, is because they've supposedly, the rumor is that they've cast Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. Mm-hmm. The internet's going crazy. Some people for it, some people against it.
Is this the one for the standalone, like, Martin Scorsese directed origin story Joker, or is this, I don't remember.
If it's Joaquin Phoenix, I would assume so.
Well, there's a Joker movie that's supposed to be in production that may or may not be part of the DCEU.
Yeah, and like, we talked about it on Nerd Up, and it's just like, this makes no sense, but.
Didn't they do this once before, where they were teasing, is this movie going to be a part of the DC?
Yeah, there was a Batman movie that was, like, there's a Batman prequel movie that they said at first was going to be a prequel story, and will be in the DCEU, may not have Ben Affleck. And then, like, well, no, it's not going to have Ben Affleck, and it's not going to be part of the universe. And then they're like, no, we'll have Ben Affleck and it will be part of the universe.
Get your shit together.
DCEU needs to do that real bad.
Yeah, there's whatever too many
money,
versions.
Whatever money they threw at Marvel to get Bendis to write their comics, they need to get Feige to jump ship.
Oh,
like,
God.
Buy him an island. Buy him six islands.
I was about to say, do you really think Marvel can't beat whatever DC's gonna throw at him?
So do you?
Oh, no, yeah, now.
So, I know, again, we're getting off topic, but I have to ask, do you reboot the whole of universe at this point,
no.
if you're in DC, or do you salvage it?
You can see, after Justice League, you can easily salvage it. Easily. But they won't. because they're gonna, right now they're so focused on getting everybody and their sidekick a movie, a solo movie.
Right.
That they're not focusing on their core group of characters.
Including the Joker, who's getting his own film.
That's not part of the DCEU.
That's like when they said this Venom movie is gonna be not part of the Marvel universe. That's like, but why? Why? But apparently he might be, because apparently Tom Holland did film stuff for it or something, but also maybe not. Like, who the hell knows, man? This is so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But are they, I did not know that Martin Scorsese, he's directing the Joker movie?
That was the original rumor, is that he was directing a standalone, not part of the DCEU,
Joker film.
Yeah.
I guess I've never been a big enough fan of the Joker to really think that he warranted a Martin Scorsese film.
I mean, if anybody could make a good Joker film, like, I think Martin Scorsese is like on the top of that list.
I don't think it would be hard to make a good Joker film. I just think you have to dig deep into him a little bit more than just have him laugh and be crazy, you know?
Also, to jump all the way back, the Crypt Keeper, John Kasser, DC Super Friends, a video short in 2010.
Huh.
I finally found
By it. That logic.
No, I mean, he voiced the Joker in like an officially released DC.
Okay, so that is official.
Oh yeah, no, it's legit. It wasn't like a fan-made thing. This was
one of my favorite versions of the Joker is there's a fan-made short starring I don't remember Walter Koenig, the guy that played Chekhov in Star Trek. His son played the Joker. And I don't remember the name of the fan-made film, but it starts with Batman and the Joker in an alley fighting. And Joker's telling him how he's like his father because he made him and all that. And then while he's laughing maniacally, a freaking alien reaches down and grabs Joker and pulls him up. And then Batman has to team up with the Predator to fight aliens. And it ends. It's like Batman versus Alien versus Predator. Okay. Which I think is an actual comic, by the way.
Well, all right.
But that was a pretty cool portrayal of Joker.
I actually think the DC Super Friends thing is a thing that they bundled in with like Fisher Price toys.
Well, John Kasser would make a good...
I don't want to look it up anymore because, like, it's
a rabbit hole right there.
Yeah.
He would make a good Joker, though.
The laugh.
Yeah. Because, you know, he played Deadpool in the Ultimate Alliance games.
John Kasser. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so he's got the...
he's got the range.
He does. He's a fantastic voice actor. Fantastic voice actor. all right, so let's jump back to Joker. How do you rank your Jokers?
Oh, God.
And then we'll talk about this.
Are we doing Jokers? Live action? Because, like,
yes, Mark Hamill is discontinued. I mean, disqualified. Jesus Christ.
Well, no, because I mean, like, if we're doing live action, there's really only
four.
Caesar.
I count Caesar Romero.
Yeah.
Not Caesar. Is it Caesar Romero?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the Batman 66.
I didn't think Joker. His last name was. Maybe yeah. I'm thinking of Dawn of the Dead.
George Romero.
Yeah, that's
both Romeros.
That's where I'm thrown off.
Not related.
Like honestly,
common last name.
I feel like Heath Ledger should be disqualified too, because like to me, it's not even close.
It is not.
See,
like,
I disagree.
Everything about him is so much like the Joker, and then Nicholson is second, and then tied for last, because honestly, I didn't really like... The 66 is not my version of Batman, and 66 also, like... He was very much the fourth villain in that series.
Because it was Penguin, Joker, Riddler,
It was always about Penguin, Riddler, and Catwoman.
Yeah.
It was one of those three, and also Joker was there... Sometimes.
But they also, you know, to be fair to Cesar Romero, they have based almost every version of Joker on him. Like, whether it's the look or the laugh or whatever, like, he was the prototype for the Joker for years ago. You can't say the same thing for Batman.
The comic Joker was because they based Cesar Romero off
In a live action way, though, like, just the mannerisms. I feel like Cesar Romero was, do you disagree with me on this?
I mean, like, not entirely. Cesar Romero's Joker was more like, He wasn't near as dark as what the Joker became.
Well, that
like,
show wasn't nearly as dark as right.
As Batman. But I mean, like, he was never really evil.
He was evil in a fun Saturday morning kind of way. But Heath Ledger's not evil as the Joker.
I'm gonna blow up two boatloads of innocent people.
They were gonna blow each other up. And then he also decided to blow him up at the end. Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm tugging my collar, Roger Dangerfield.
Implanting a bomb inside of like a mentally unwell prisoner.
What was he really
to detonate?
What was he really doing?
Also
though,
blowing up a hospital.
Well, you know, that hospital was, it was already destined for deconstruction. They were building a better hospital.
I mean, I guess you could say that he wasn't like truly evil so much as he just wanted to sow chaos, but then you have to have that argument, like, is that, are those two things different?
Via murder.
It's,
right.
Via a lot of murder.
Cause he didn't really care about human life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's evil. That's really evil.
I feel maybe the Heath Ledger version of Joker is the most accurate because he was the most vague, where you didn't really know anything about him. Mm-hmm. He just seemed to want to do stuff just to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Jack Nicholson Joker, like, I felt he had a beginning and an end.
It's an interesting dynamic to take on the Joker, Jack Nicholson's version. Because he's
the one that created Batman.
Because he was already involved in crime.
Yeah.
Like, he was just kind of this weird, eccentric dude to begin with. Yeah, because then this accident pushed him over the top.
He was basically Jack Nicholson. And then became Jack Nicholson to the 11th right. power. I'm sure it's nostalgia for the most part, mm-hmm. but just his laugh.
No, it's good. It's really good.
Because Bob hates that entire movie.
Really?
Yeah, he hates that entire movie. I don't get the hate for it. Mm-hmm. I still think the original Batman is the best Batman movie. But only from, like, enjoyment wise. I don't think it's the most accurate, but, like, for my enjoyment, the first Batman is tops for me.
Yeah.
As far as, like, the Batman character, yeah, it's the Christian Bale movies, no doubt. But I love the first Batman movie. And Batman Returns. Both of those movies are just exquisite. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Batman's cool as hell. The villains are cool as hell.
They get the aesthetic really well. Everything kind of dark and
gloomy.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, Joel Schumacher decided to turn it into a funhouse.
The only thing is the fan theory of the Joel Schumacher movies are, so Batman is real. And that Gotham City that we see in Batman and Batman Returns, though, that's the real world. Everyone knows about Batman. The Joel Schumacher movies are Batman movies in that universe.
Like to celebrate and glorify.
So people of Gotham can go to a movie theater and watch Batman and Robin. Of just like this, there's this weird cartoonized version of this thing that they are living about. Like,
I very much subscribe to that headcanon. It also makes a whole lot of sense for the the Bat credit card. Straight up product placement in a movie. For a product, obviously, it doesn't exist to us,
so,
but to real Gothamites.
So he pulls out a credit card that says Forever on it. And it has an unlimited amount of money on it because he's Batman. I don't understand how those films got greenlit.
I don't know.
Mr. Show skit. Like, who greenlit this film?
Cocaine.
I mean, Batman, they made money.
And, you know,
they made so much money.
Joel Schumacher is such a good director. You know, he did Lost Boys, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. He did Phantom of the Opera, which I love that version of Phantom of the Opera. I don't understand how he did that.
Yeah, it's...
Again, if you go with that, like, that theory, it works so much better. And it's a more enjoyable film.
I do like that Mark Hamill, or not Mark Hamill, I'm totally blanking on Henry Cavill. Those sound similar. Took some nods from Cesar Romero, though. Cause he refused to shave his mustache.
Son of a bitch. I got it right before you said it.
For Justice League. And Cesar Romero didn't shave his mustache for
the show. So they just painted over him.
So every time they did a close up of his face, it was just a little bit of dark. But, so that version of Joker is not, like, soup, cause I'm not a huge fan of Batman 66, the series. Like, that's just a personal thing. Like, when I'm so accustomed to, like, Batman animated series or darker, that super bright and campy is just like, I get it. It has its place. I will forever appreciate what
it was a product of its time.
To put Batman in the mainstream.
Right.
And it deserves its place in Batman history. It's just not a thing that I enjoy. And then, Jared Leto's Joker was just garbage. All of it. It was so try hard. Like 14-year-olds think it's edgy. And not only the character version of it, they completely ruined the relationship between Joker and Harley Quinn.
Absolutely.
Like one, like there is no.
That was Allie's biggest problem with it too.
Yeah, because there's no redeeming qualities about it. And then also just like Jared Leto going method was just being douchebag. Obnoxious. Again, that's a 15-year-old's view of being edgy. I'm going to send used condoms and rats to my co-stars. Yes. How very Joker of you.
Do you remember that movie, the comic series where Joker was sending used condoms to Batman?
I do. Yeah.
That was terrible. Who wrote that?
No one.
Like, because
DC wouldn't have published it.
And then on top of the way he looks.
The aesthetic.
With like
was
the tattoos
awful.
And stuff. Yeah. The only thing I liked about it is where, like, how he was wearing the teeth. The teeth.
Yeah,
because Batman had already broken them all out. Like, yes, that's a thing that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. There were parts of that Joker that I actually liked. And if mine's almost the same as yours, but it would go Nicholson above Ledger, just nostalgia, if nothing else.
Right.
But Nicholson, Ledger, and then I would actually put Cesar Romero third. I would put him far above.
I mean, I would probably put him third as well, because Jared Leto is by and far his my least favorite version of the Joker.
And I remember them saying that Leto's Joker, there was cut footage. Like, there was so much more he did that he put in this epic performance as the Joker, and they cut most of it. But what we saw on screen
was they added a lot more of it.
Well, I think they added more scenes, but apparently there was way more. Like, there's so much stuff he filmed as the Joker. He was mad that they didn't include all of it because he thought it made it look like he gave a better performance, which if that's true, I'd love to see it, because that version of the Joker, between the growling like an animal, you remember that part?
Yep.
Yeah.
Of the hunka-hunka burning whatever. Like, it's like he was trying to portray crazy, but it was in a really forced way. When Jack Nicholson laughed maniacally. One of my favorite scenes of Batman is, so Jack Palance is the crime boss, and it's when you first meet the Joker fully. He walks in, he takes the hat off, he has the makeup on, and he starts shooting Jack Palance. And he's shooting him, and then he's like shooting behind his back, between his legs, and he's laughing. That struck me as, that dude's actually crazy. Heath Ledger was a more subdued crazy, but you could tell he had legitimate issues. But Jared Leto's Joker was just like, let's try to be crazy, but just come across as really pretentious.
Right.
You know?
But apparently Jared Leto's an asshole in real life anyway. Like, even outside of the whole, like, trying to get into character, he's just, in general, an asshole.
He strikes me as the kind of guy that, like, really takes himself too seriously.
I really like 30 Seconds to Mars.
That's actually where I heard it. Anybody that's ever tried to meet Jared Leto, and then I don't remember his brother's name, the other guy in 30 Seconds to Mars.
I didn't know he had a brother.
I was going to say Jared Leto's the only one I know from the band, so.
Yeah, well, his brother's a front man, I think.
I thought he was.
The lead singer, Jared Leto is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, no, never mind. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's his brother. Any time that anybody would go to meet both of them at a table somewhere, they, like, his brother would actually talk and hang out. He would be very standoffish, want to leave immediately. He hated signing autographs. He hated talking to his fans. He was often rude. I heard from basically a lot of stories of people going to try and meet them at concerts.
And I mean, I get that. I kind of do, because, you know, just because you're in the business doesn't mean you owe anybody anything. Like, if people don't want to listen to your music, they don't have to listen to your music. You don't owe them, you know, like, to be sweet to them at all.
You know what his brother's name is? Shannon.
Son of a bitch.
Jared Leto, lead vocals, guitar, bass, keyboards. Shannon Leto, drums, percussion.
Okay.
And then
the others.
So, and then one other guy whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce, lead guitar, bass, violin, keyboards, other instruments.
Violin is an important part of music, by the way.
That's true. Yes. Yellow Card, greatest band of all time. Don't at me.
No.
I agree. No. I love Yellow Card.
I mean, I also like Yellow Card, but
I said don't at me.
Are you adding him right now?
I don't know what that means.
But Jared Leto was garbage. Jesse.
Yeah, no.
Same ranking. They probably all equal, except you. I'm sure you put Heath Ledger above Nicholson.
I do,
but I'm sure otherwise it's the exact same.
Yes.
So,
because I mean, honestly,
not as controversial as the Batman.
Well, because the movie
Batman wasn't really controversial either.
Okay, but what about Superman?
Who? The
Brandon Ruth, come at me.
The live action Jokers to me are the worst versions of Joker. Like, I mean, Heath Ledger's Joker is one of the greats. Like, and he's someone who's like an all-time great Joker. But all of the best Jokers either come from the comics or animated. And I don't think that's a super controversial statement.
Nope.
Because we've also only gotten the four live-action Jokers.
And they're always contained to one movie.
Yeah.
Whereas the Jokers in the comics and the TV series, we have so many adventures that they've been on.
Mm-hmm.
But although the comic version gets pretty stupid.
I mean, it can. Like, there are bad versions of the comic version, but...
Oh, and this new Batman Ninja movie?
Oh, God.
Am I the only one that... I haven't heard your opinion on this. Is this not the dumbest thing?
Well, someone done listened to it up.
I can't. The audio goes out right in the middle of it. I can't hear anything.
All right, listen here.
Sorry.
So anyway, did you
talk about it on this Sunday's Nerd Up, probably?
Yeah.
Incentive for those who haven't listened to go back and listen to Nerd Up.
No, there you go.
I think we all kind of came to the same conclusion that it's an interesting concept and it's wait and see, but a lot of the character designs are
truly terrible. Like, the Joker doesn't necessarily look bad. The animation doesn't look bad. Like, the style is interesting, but Red Hood and Damian?
Yeah.
Holy
Which
crap.
Which one's the bald one?
Damian.
It's Damian. Whew. And he's not even bald. He has patchy hair.
He has that samurai hair, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah. And then Red Hood's walking around with a Chinese lantern on his head.
Yeah.
Steampunk Chinese lantern. Damian looks like a 10-year-old saw a samurai's haircut and tried to do it himself. like yeah. with a sword.
That sounds about right.
And if I recall, the plot of this is that Batman goes back in time.
He is forced back in time somehow to feudal Japan.
What about the other characters? Are they also going back in time?
Yeah, they're all forced back into... Oh,
okay, so it's not that like there was a Joker there already and Batman just arrives and goes, well, I got to fight him because he's Joker-ish.
Yeah, no, Joker somehow got back in time and then Batman was pulled back in time to fight him.
And then other characters also were...
pulled back.
You know what I remember them saying they loved the most about the Bale movies was it was grounded in reality.
Relatively.
Just saying. Yeah, when they get to the part with the giant mech, that's when I kind of tapped out completely.
Yeah.
And the fact that Joker is like a badass samurai. Because one of my favorite parts of the Joker is that he can't fight Batman. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
We going to talk about the Batman?
Oh, you mean karate of dreadlocks Joker?
Dreadlock ninja monkey footed Joker.
The worst.
Ooh. Worst voice actor. What?
He was actually pretty decent.
The voice actor is good. I like him.
Just
He's good. He is a terrible Joker.
Okay, there you go.
That version of the Joker is terrible, but that's a problem with the entire franchise. Penguin beats Batman in a one-on-one karate match the first time they meet. No.
It's because all kids love karate and all the villains have to know it in order to fight Batman.
Yeah, and yet, I still liked the Batman.
I thought
it was a good series.
It's fine. It's just that thing where I can't get past it because, like...
That?
I finished the first, I think, two seasons, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, because it actually has one of my favorite versions of Clayface.
I really hated The Brave and the Bold. I thought that was just a terrible show, but it wasn't for me.
But
it has one of my favorite episodes. There's an episode, and it kind of relates to Joker. I can tie it in, where Joe Chill, it's like Gentleman Ghost, and I don't know who the other guy is.
Batman.
Well, no. I think it's that
the spirit.
Batman finds out that Joe Chill killed his parents, and he wants revenge. And it's Gentleman Ghost, and I really can't remember the other person, but Gentleman Ghost is voiced by Kevin Conroy, and the other one's voiced by Mark Hamill. And they're both kind of fighting for Batman's conscience. They're telling him why he should or shouldn't do it. And in the end, it's actually Joe Chill that goes to the other DC villains and tells them, like, you have to protect me from Batman. Like, I killed his parents. I made him. And they're all like, you're the reason we have to deal with Batman. And they end up killing him, which is just.
That's in Brave and the Bold?
Yeah. He dies in the end of it.
Dear Lord.
Wow. Yeah. It's really shocking, that episode. So I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway.
Now that is pretty cool.
Because I've always thought that was kind of like 60s super little kid version of Batman. It's all bright colors and.
I wish I could remember the name of the episode, but it was actually a legit good episode. And that's Diedrich Bader as Batman, which I never thought I would like.
I see. And I dig it because he's an interesting. Sounding fellow.
I'm a fan of Brave and the Bold.
It's just like, that. I can't do that.
Really, I haven't been able to enjoy a Batman animated series since Batman Beyond.
Yeah, I like Batman Beyond too. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yep.
Mark Hamill played the Spectre.
The Spectre. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good episode. If you get a chance to watch it, I recommend it. You really don't have to have any knowledge of the show to watch it.
Because it was a one-off. Like, that was a kid's. It was a 30-minute self-contained.
Yeah.
There wasn't like an overarching plot between from season to season or anything.
Right, right.
So everyone's upset that Joaquin Phoenix is set to play the Joker, including on our good friend Hunter Hendricks, Double H's Real Rock 99.3 page, where people were talking about how that's not the Joker. That can't be the Joker. Mm-hmm. And my question is why? Why can't that be the Joker? Like, I think Joaquin Phoenix would do an amazing job. He's a great actor.
I'm not a huge fan of him in general, mostly because the whole – and maybe this is just me being petty – but him faking being crazy for a year and a half.
The David Letterman interview.
To make his terrible documentary that like six people watched.
Casey Affleck's documentary.
Was it Casey Affleck that did it?
He was just acting in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of dumb.
Cause he pretended to be a rapper and he was promoting, I think it was called like Rise of the Phoenix was the album. And it was Casey Affleck was doing a fake documentary about Joaquin Phoenix becoming a rapper.
But it was done in real life.
Like, they went on Letterman, in one of the most infamous Letterman interviews ever, where Letterman just Fs with him constantly because he's being a dick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
performance
that,
art.
It's the comic. It's the online comic, and I'll censor it. But it's, look at me, I'm stupid. And then the two guys that he's talking to are like, wow, that guy's stupid. The dude walks away, he's like, haha, joke's on them. I was just pretending.
Yeah.
Okay, because like when you're doing a bit, if the rest of the world doesn't know that you're doing a bit, they perceive you as that.
Perception is
like,
reality.
And that's something that we've kind of dealt with like on the show.
Right.
Where it's like
we can't say these things
because there are certain things that, you know,
we do as a bit.
That we might say that we do as a bit, but if someone's first show is listening to that and they hear that language being used, they might go walk away with like, oh, well, that's pretty dope.
They're racist.
Yeah.
So, and they're all looking at me. Jesse and Ace are both looking at me on this.
I was looking at you because you were talking.
I'm also looking at you because I'm facing you.
Well, that's not my fault.
And so it's just that, like, yeah, so, oh, I'm going to act like a dick for a year and a half, 2 years filming this thing. It's okay. It's just a prank, bro.
It was a long, long, extended prank, bro.
There's also nothing, like, nothing super stands out of Joaquin Phoenix that he's done that I can point to as like, oh, he was really, really great in that. That said, same exact thing for Heath Ledger.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Cause like,
A Knight's Tale? Sorry.
Never saw it.
Walk the Line? Where he portrayed Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Where he portrayed Johnny Cash was really good.
That was really good. And I'm sure there are stuff that I've seen. It's just nothing immediately. It's that thing where I have to would go through his IMDb and be like, oh yeah, I did really like that. Oh yeah, that was really good. But it's just, but at the same time with Heath Ledger, I will never say, like, that's what kind of killed me being like, that's a terrible casting choice.
Right. Cause they might surprise you.
Right.
Cause Heath Ledger silenced all critics.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, ever since then, like, I haven't been really critical of any kind of, like, casting for, there's no way that person could do that character. I have to wait and see. Of course, Jared Leto was, you know.
I was excited about him as Joker.
I thought he would do.
Yeah.
Which, and to be fair, like, if Jared Leto was given a good version of the Joker, I think we would be having a different conversation. I think he just kind of had to lean into what he was given.
Right. I said earlier that there were parts of that Joker I liked. I actually liked his wardrobe. I liked the idea of him being like a more modernized Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of like the Jack Nicholson style where he's a person. He's a criminal.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
as
he was a straight up like insane gangster.
Yeah, he was like super eccentric.
Yeah.
I loved the car, like the purple car and stuff. Like little stuff like that I actually liked.
Right.
But yeah, the tattoos and the grill, I didn't think about that because I hated the grill mm-hmm. until you guys just explained it to me. And I went, that does make sense. That Batman mm-hmm. just beat the shit out of him constantly.
And even like, and the tattoos to an extent make sense for that version of the character.
Cause he was the Hot Topic Joker.
But he's also playing a version of like, he's playing on a trope of a type of person that I hate.
Right.
And not like, oh, it's fun to hate this person. Like legit, if I see this person, I roll my eyes. And I don't want to be subjected to having to watch do things on screen. It's the same thing with like why I hate Duck Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know too many people like that in real life to be like able to sit down and this is entertaining. Look how quirky they are. And then Neighbors, like no,
you see this out in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought now. So I was gonna say something about Joaquin Phoenix and it's gone. Oh, I liked him in Signs.
Yeah,
I mean the Signs was good.
It was kind of a pointless. I mean.
Well, I mean, it was.
He didn't really do much.
Yeah, he didn't have like a huge role other than Swing Away.
Swing Away.
Spoilers.
Swing Away.
Spoilers. Maybe I haven't seen him by this point. Jesse. No, it's gone again.
Okay,
I keep losing the thing I'm going to ask you.
I
don't know why.
I keep looking at you. I'm like.
So this is probably more for Jesse than
because
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how many of the comics you've read. But what's your favorite comic version of Joker?
That's really hard.
It is. I came prepared.
Oh.
But I have a list, so I cheated.
Honestly, man, I don't know. I am really, really, really digging White Knight Joker. I just love that story so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Which, for those who don't know, it's an alternate universe in DC where Batman has gone too far in the eyes of the public, and Joker has been rehabilitated. And so now he's trying to bring down Batman.
The roles were reversed, is what you're telling me.
Sort of. Like,
I also haven't read. I read the first two issues and couldn't really get into it, so I'm going to wait until all six are out, and then I'm just going to read it in one.
Yeah, in the first issue, basically, what sets up, Batman force feeds the Joker a bunch of pills and starts beating the crap out of him while after, you know, force feeding him a bottle of pills. And a bunch of people get that on camera. And then they're like, guys, Batman's
kind of nuts, right?
Batman's kind of insane, right? Like, normal people don't do this, right? So, yeah. And
it's still the same Joker, right?
Sort of.
Turns out murderous Joker?
No.
Turns out that cocktail of pills cured his insanity.
But also that past version of Joker, that was my main problem with White Knight, is Because, yeah, okay, this guy blows up school buses and laughs.
Right.
But he's a sympathetic character. No! No one would think that. So either, but they don't do enough to say, yes, he is still that, and then explain why people are sympathetic, or they don't do enough to say, no, no, he never actually went that far. Like, he's just this kooky property damage robber crook.
No, it's one of those things, like, they're going hard on the whole, like, it was because of his condition. And they're gonna go really hard on that. And, you know what I mean, he was cured.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have all of the police brutality charges, and pretty much every time he was brought in was by Batman.
Right.
Which sort of, like, after all that video stuff came out, soiled the public opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe some of that was fabricated, blah, 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 blah. And then they see Batman, you know, running his Batmobile on rooftops of houses and destroying a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of interesting things come into play in this comic book. Like, the amount of property damage that Batman causes apprehending these criminals. They talk about, like, insurance that exists specifically for Batman damage. And the amount of money that Gotham has to sink into it.
That reminds me, I know you guys aren't big anime. Well, Jesse, you're an anime fan. Did you ever watch Trigun?
Yeah.
With Vash the Stampede. He's literally, have you seen it, Asa?
Mm-mm.
So he's a nice guy who just always gets himself into, like, situations. And he causes so much damage that two insurance agents follow him around through the entire story to try to stop it from causing like damage. It's yep. Very funny. It's very funny.
It is really funny.
I can answer that question too.
Do it.
So mine's more basic.
Do it.
I really like the Man Who Laughs.
That's a good one.
Because
the Man Who Laughs is kind of the quintessential, like, everyone has kind of agreed that is the Joker's story. Because it took a lot of different elements that had just been kind of floating around and tied them all together into.
But my personal favorite, as cliched as it is the Killing Joke. Not even for the whole part of him torturing Batgirl. Yeah. But just for the backstory. I like the version of him being the comic who was just down, like, everything bad that happened to him.
Yeah.
And it pushed him too far. Like, to me, that is my version of the Joker, is somebody who was a good person who just got pushed
too far. One bad day.
Yeah.
That's actually the Batman they're running with in White Knight, for the most part.
Was the Killing Joke one?
Jack Napier is who they're, yeah.
Is his name really Jack Napier?
In this version, yes.
Which is his name from the Nicholson films.
Yeah.
He was Jack Napier, yeah.
That's been around. Like, that's been a...
Was that before the Nicholson films with Jack Napier? Or did they introduce
it? I thought so.
I'm pretty sure it is. I could be wrong.
I can look it up.
But so... And like, though, and those are very good. What was the, and you're looking something up, so I'm sorry to ask you this. Do you remember the story where, Jim Gordon shoots Joker through the kneecap? And he's like, I'll never walk again. You've crippled me. And then starts just cackling because he's like, oh, well, I guess that's fair. It's just like, oh.
I don't. Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So I'm completely cheating because, my two favorite versions of Joker, my actual favorite version of Joker, I'll get to in a second. But the other two have been such brief instances, but they've been done so well that I just want so much more of them. Martha Kane, which is the Flashpoint Joker.
Oh, where Thomas Wayne becomes Batman and she becomes Joker.
Because they kill Child Bruce, Thomas becomes Batman, Martha becomes Joker.
That's pretty awesome. I always like that.
Yes.
It was so cool. The heart crushing scene of he takes after his father. And that just, and then she kills herself. It's like, oh,
jeez.
Yeah. It's,
cheese and crackers.
Cause Batman, after everything has been set right, Thomas and her have one last, like, confrontation. And he tells her that he met Bruce, like this other version of Bruce, and he's alive. And he takes after his father. He becomes a doctor? No. And then she just laughs. And then she jumps off a cliff. And it's screwed. Because the Joker, at its core, is such a fucked up character. Like, he's so... There's so much room for just so much, like, darkness and pain. And it's fascinating.
Well, that's why I like the Killing Joe Joker. Because it's not just, I'm crazy. It's not just, like, everybody that plays an MMO and they automatically pick the badass-looking, like, race just to look badass.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he just... I hate the Joker that's just... He's crazy to be crazy.
Right.
I like the Joker that has a purpose.
There's a reason behind it. Right. I think that's kind of what I like
about... to the madness.
That's what I like about Heath Ledger's Joker, is that you don't really... Like, it never tells you. You know,
he
tells that story about, you know, his dad abusing him as a kid. But then he starts to tell that other story, and it's like, oh, well, what was actually...
What's true and what's not.
Did that first one happen?
As opposed to the Jack Nicholson Joker, where you knew who he was before he became the Joker and why he became the Joker.
And you're right, Jack Napier was actually named for Jack Nicholson's Joker.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually thought it existed in comic books before that.
I did too. That's awesome. Yeah. I think my new favorite version of Joker, though, is in Dark Knight's Metal, the Batman who laughs.
Oh, God.
So, have you gotten there yet?
No, but that is terrifying looking.
He has beaten that into my head since it came out, the Batman who laughs. Mm-hmm. He made me watch all these videos about it. Like, he force-fed it to me.
Really?
Yeah, which I think kind of soured me on it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate because basically this Dark Knight's Metal, the whole premise of the series is that there is this dark universe god who's existing just on the other side of the multiverse. And this dark multiverse is a bunch of other multiverses just formed out of the nightmares and pains of the various planets of the various multiverses. And so there's all these like super evil versions of Batman who have gone through like Bruce Wayne's worst dreams and Batman's worst fears and nightmares. And shockingly, the worst one is he becomes the Joker, because all of these other evil Batmans are versions of like other heroes. So there's like the Eradicator is his version of when he was like when dealing with Superman,
right,
and Wonder Woman and all of these. And oh my, and they all have their each individual issues, like their own little one-shot stories of how this version of Bruce Wayne could become so
bad,
so evil. Yeah. And the Batman who laughs like stuck with me, and it still has, and it's just so violent and intense and sudden. And
this is the scene I'm thinking of that
believable.
I don't want to say.
So it's whew, man, and it's nuts. And if there's one thing that sticks around in like Metal that is used somewhere down the line, which I say that, but I don't believe it. Because I don't, it's so good, just so self-contained. And the last couple of things that I've read with Metal has kind of, it was one of my favorite things in comics last year, like hands down. But the longer it goes, the more I'm kind of like, okay, you're starting to lose me. It's getting real weird. Getting weird.
Getting
Jesse.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it does not start, it's not an easy access book.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of unliked. Disliked.
I'm digging it. I don't know what the internet's opinion is on it.
The internet.
A lot of people like it. The downside is just that there's so much of it.
Yeah.
There's so much. Like, it's become a daunting task now, because I have read like the first 6 or 7 issues of Metal, and I still have, and I'm not doing like the standard tie-ins. I'm just doing the straight up Metal tie-ins.
Yep.
And I still have a good 8, 9 issues sitting there, and they're not like small books either.
No, yeah, they're full size, like monthly release titles.
Yeah. So,
cause there's 6 is coming out in March, and that's the finale. There have been, I think, 8 one-shot tie-ins, the 5 main issues, and then the 2 prequel books. And that's not counting, like, Justice League number 34, which is a Metal tie-in.
Yeah.
We did this show last year, I think, or 2 years ago, about Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. And you guys were trying to explain it to me. Or no.
Flash.
Yeah. And I tapped out. In like, fairness, can't do it. Yeah.
This is significantly less bad than that, because all of this, like, none of this is canon to the actual story, or the actual story of Batman, because Batman's doing completely different stuff in his book.
I'm so excited.
Same thing with like Superman and everything else.
We'll get there in
Save
a second.
Say that for Nerd Up.
Guys.
No, I'm kidding. Save for Nerds for Hire.
But Batman Who Laughs is just, it's rough. It's one of those like kind of Walking Dead-esque, like, this is uncomfortable to read.
Yeah, it's super violent.
And
the clips I saw, the pictures.
And then where it goes, like, in the actual just core Metal story, like this issue 5 that just came out, where it's like, oh,
so
there might be other things at play here.
So are they fighting Batman in this? Or
yes,
like, is that the goal, Batman has to fight all these other Batmen?
Well, this dark universe has invaded the actual multiverse.
Okay.
And they want to drag the actual multiverse into darkness, because all of these other worlds are just destined to
be
destroyed.
At some point, yeah.
All of their planets are just gone because of the nature of how they were created. They're temporary. They are moments in time for these characters to live through the darkest version of their own timelines.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And it's the feel-good story of the
year. And it turns out a lot of them are kind of mad about that. So they're like, okay, well, then you get to do that too. So they're just trying to destroy the entire...
And then there are other ones that they just say, like, what if I told you there was a universe where this person is still alive? Oh, all right, time to go kill that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and because it's like, hey, so you know how you hate like the Flash? You want to go kill one? Yes, I do. That'll be fun.
At least they're having a good
Thank
time.
You for asking.
It's not boring.
But I think my favorite one is the New 52, the Scott Snyder run.
I was about to say the Death of the Family Joker is
Because it's that super crazy, ultra violent. It's super dark, and it's just like it's legitimately scary.
And you've of course seen this Joker, right? The one with his mask taped to
his face, strapped
face,
to his
strap. That's the word. Because
they cut his face off, and then strapped it
on.
He
just had the doll maker in the first issue of Detective Comics. He has the doll maker cut off his face.
Which I think we should mention at this point, because we didn't mention him at all during the live action ones, because it's not technically the Joker. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, the kid that plays the Joker-esque character in Gotham knocks it out of the park.
They've already confirmed that he is not the Joker.
Right.
He can't be the Joker. But here's the thing. Oh, so you have this guy acting exactly like the Joker.
And they even do the face tear off thing.
I know you're not going to, because I know this isn't going to turn into a Batman show. Like, and if it does, oh boy, if it does, if they bring in the Joker and now you're just doing stuff this other dude already did. No.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any
sense. The whole
point
of Batman is that these over the top villains have to come in response to Batman. So the fact that they're all like, there's Scarecrow and Riddler and stuff like,
With that said, I heard the guy's really good.
I like that actor. Yeah. And he looks interesting. Not enough to make me want to go back and try to watch Batman again or Gotham again.
I won't watch Gotham. I can't. It's insufferable.
it's the little winks and nods. Like, oh, well, this crime scene investigator named Edward Nigma, he likes riddles.
Wait a minute. That sounds a lot like the Penguin.
I'm going to beat you to this microphone stand.
But what about Fish Mooney? Anyway.
That's an original character.
It is, yeah. I like Jada Pinkett. Huh,
and like one of the best parts of the show.
Mm-hmm. Did she
How
make
about
it?
That? I probably mm-hmm. not. I don't know.
Anyway, all right, so we don't have much time. Before we go, can we all at least agree that Joker's not the best Batman villain? We all agree on that, right? Because it's clearly Scarecrow.
He's the most...
/ Two-Face. It's Two-Face, but Scarecrow is just super cool.
Scarecrow's super cool. I also have to, like, Bane, when he's done correctly, is a...
Like the Schumacher version.
I will kill you. I will drop you where you stand.
Yeah, the problem with Bane, like, he was, like, the version of Bane from The Dark Knight.
It was a good Bane. Well, up until the end.
Yeah, well.
Dark Knight Rises, I'm thinking more like Nightfall. And even, like, I am Bane. In the new, the Batman Rebirth run.
Oh, yeah, I haven't
where
run
he is
any
a
of.
Legit just like, he's a, like, meta-human level super genius, not that smart, but he's way smarter than Bruce Wayne.
I actually forgot about the I Am Bane Batman run.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. You were correct.
I saw a clip from, I think it was the Justice League series, I think, like the TV show, mm-hmm. where Superman had to be Batman for a little while.
Yeah.
And he fights Bane and just, well, you know how this is gonna end.
Yeah, because yeah. Bruce Wayne has to appear at the same, like, Clark Kent has to wear Batman's outfit.
Yeah.
To establish the fact that Bruce Wayne is not Batman.
Yeah.
So they have to be in the same place at the same time, and then Bane attacks, and yeah, he punches Batman in the jaw and just, like, breaks his hand.
The thing about Bane, like, I love Bane when he's not been relegated as a C-list villain.
Exactly. When he's treated with the way he's supposed to, where he is this super genius, like, yep. That's what I was really hoping for Arkham Knight. Is that the big reveal is, okay, who could control it? Who has an army at their disposal and can out actually, like, fist fight Batman? Bane off of Venom. He'd be normal sized. He'd fit into the suit. The Santa Prisa army could be a thing. I don't know. Like, oh.
It could have been.
Oh, that would have been so much cooler.
Said it wasn't.
But it's still Two-Face.
I mean, Two-Face is a fascinating character.
Two-Face also, is my favorite Batman villain.
Yeah, me too.
I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a while now. So the current Rebirth story for Batman is basically... Batman and Selina Kyle are now officially engaged. They're going to get married. And the last few issues of Batman are pretty much him going around having to tell everybody that he is now engaged to Catwoman. What I want to see so much, and I don't think we're going to get it because of the last story arc was,
mm-hmm.
is I want to see the Joker's reaction to that.
Apparently we're going to get that in
I mean, I figured we'd get it eventually.
It's in Bendis's first stuff. Bendis is going to write Joker's reaction to it.
Tom King is right there. He's doing the best. Oh, no.
Good job. You gave him an aneurysm.
I thought I told you. Did you block this out? We talked about it on
you
Nerd Up.
You should listen to Nerd Up.
I didn't think that was the actual, like, I knew he was doing a story about that. I didn't think he was doing the story about that.
I'm pretty sure he is, yeah.
Well, Tom King is right there. Tom King is writing the best version of Batman and Superman that we've gotten in comics, like, in years.
So you think that stories just about Batman talking to the other superheroes about being engaged to Selina Kyle will be bad? Holy crap, they're amazing.
When you look at the stories that he's been telling about these, like, super combat heavy, like, crazy villain, like, plots and, like, really emotionally driven, like, hard-hitting stuff, just, like, four issues. One of them is Batman and Catwoman go on a double date with Superman and Lois Lane.
And it's amazing!
And it is the most fun I've had reading a comic in so long.
I think I saw some panels from that was very, very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to, okay, so they go to this carnival on like, superhero night. And they all have to be, like,
they have to be in kind.
And they're all aware of who each other are, right?
I'm assuming. Oh yeah, they all know who each other are. Which, cause that was a huge deal about, like, okay, well, can she be trusted with Superman's secret identity?
Right.
Which she already knew, which was, cause of course she did. Yeah. It's awesome. But so they have to, like, they get to this carnival and he's like, oh, you're not wearing superhero costumes. You can't come in. And like, okay, well, we can drive 4 hours to, like, get food. And Catwoman's like, no, I'm hungry. We're doing this. So Batman wears Superman's costume. Superman is in the Batman's costume. Lois Lane is wearing Catwoman's gear. And Catwoman is just wearing Lois Lane's street clothes, but bribes the guy. And it's so good. And just, there's this thing about a baseball pitch, and it's...
That's like so a common good. Thing, like, throughout...
And I was
like
so
a common
excited.
Argument.
I was so excited for Tom King, because, like, the version of the Joker that he gave us in Jokes and Riddles was real good.
Yeah.
Like I was... Bendis, if you screw this up, you will have made an enemy for life. Take the shorts off of Superman.
Your list?
List?
Before we get out of here, because we got to go, we were going to say, who do you think should be Joker? Who would you cast as the Joker? And I don't know if you have notes for that one.
I don't.
Oh, yeah, off the top of your head?
I'm bad with, like, fantasy castings, though.
I think there's one obvious choice, and you've all seen the pictures, and I agree with it. Jesse, you know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. Willem Dafoe.
And I don't want to say he's old. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's old, but he's too old to play the Joker. Unless it's like the Dark Knight Return?
You could do that. He could almost do like a Batman Beyond.
Yeah, or
OG Joker.
Honestly, he could probably do it like in the current universe.
Or makeup. They could just put the Joker makeup on him and.
Cause I mean, like this would
follow
be.
Follow him around for a week?
Yeah. Cause I mean, if he looks.
Ben Affleck is supposed to be graying.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Willem
Dafoe.
Cast
Willem
Dafoe
right now for it.
He just looks like the Joker. Like the smile. He has the most maniacal smile I've ever seen. And it's just his normal smile. Like, compare the pictures of him next to the Joker from various artwork. People have, like, painted him up. He looks exactly... No, it would be one thing to just look like the Joker, but he's also an amazing actor.
That's really true.
The one that springs to mind won't happen because he was already a Batman villain in a live-action movie, but I think Cillian Murphy would be...
Oh, but he was such a good Scarecrow.
He was such a good Scarecrow.
Oh.
I loved his Scarecrow.
Oh, he's so pretty, too.
Yeah, no, he could definitely do the Joker as well.
So pretty.
But it's that thing where it's like, okay, well, Heath Ledger knocked it out of the park, so that kind of busts the trope of who you would want to see is...
It could be anybody.
But Cillian Murphy also has the frame of, like, the Joker in my head.
Right.
So
it really just depends on the writer. Like, if the writing is good, it can work.
Because Under the Red Hood, the animated one, mm-hmm. the animated movie, was a real good Joker. John DiMaggio was such a, like, I wasn't a huge fan of him the first time I watched it, but, like, the more times I see that, the more it really grows on me.
Oh, yeah, no,
because he is a more physically imposing, like, he's a bigger Joker, he's a bigger guy, but his voice fits that. And also just, like, yeah, I don't want him to be a hand-to-hand combat expert, but if he could actually kind of, you know, hold his own a little in a fist fight if that makes sense. For being an underworld, like, criminal boss.
Right.
You're gonna have to kick some asses.
Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really do like, that's, next to Mark Hamill, John DiMaggio is my favorite voice of the Joker.
I hated it the first time I heard it.
But the more I watched it, and it's the thing where it's like,
I heard Bender.
That's fair. That was hard to get past. But with the Joker animated and, like, in video games is so hard because Mark Hamill did such a good job. He's so iconic, and that's what everyone thinks
of. They try to do.
Everyone ends up trying to do Mark Hamill's Joker.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah, everyone really... always sounds like Mark Hamill.
Right.
Everybody.
Well, they sound like a knockoff of Mark Hamill.
And right. See, that's what I liked about John DiMaggio. Is I think he really did his own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus like Troy Baker is doing Mark Hamill doing the Joker.
Right.
Well, it's, you know, the same thing, even though I guess it's just the voice itself, but like of, Harlequin's the same way.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to be Harlequin from the animated series.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Every person that does her voice, even in the Margot Robbie movie, she still sounded like that
tried
Harlequin.
To be Tara Strong.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, the original
because Tara Strong was a really, really good one in the Arkham movies, but.
Right, but she was just trying to do,
Arlene Sorkin.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Iconic. So, of course, they would try to steal it. Yeah.
Well, and also that is the first ever voice of Harley Quinn.
Right. And well, that's what I was thinking about Cesar Romero. That's what I was trying to say as the Joker. Like, he was the first one you ever saw in person, heard the voice.
Right.
You know, heard the laugh.
And for when you only have a version of the Joker in comics, he very much fit like what was there in the comics.
At the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like, it was believable. It was like, oh, that is what he would sound like.
Right.
And that is what he would look like if he was a real person.
And he's evolved over time. The character has.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it evolved into Jared Leto. Props to Margot Robbie, though. She was an amazing Harlequin.
I think Jared Leto is a weird, like, genetic mishap. That's not true evolution yet.
He's the Danny DeVito in the Twins.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. He got all the recessive genes. Gotcha. All right.
A Twins reference.
We're going to end it on that one. I want to thank Jesse for coming into the show tonight.
Hey, thanks
Appreciate
for having
it, buddy. And Ace, of course, thank you. And we'll be back tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yes.
So, we'll end it there. You guys have a great night. Let us know who you think should be the Joker. Right now. Right now. Go!